Shall we turn to Scripture? The book of the Revelation. This has come to my heart here this afternoon, and though it is a favorite subject of mine, and perhaps a favorite topic of many of us, and I can distinctly remember speaking along these lines at other conferences, and if you happen to be unfortunate enough to have been at them, well, I don't know whether to tender apologies to you or just to carry on anyway. I'm going to carry on, and I want to turn your attention to chapter 21 of this great book. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We know, of course, that this is the great ultimate to which God is working. And to understand these great statements is to really understand the whole book. For the book is a record of all things that are but means to this end. It's a wonderful thing when you come to think of it all. Our brother in prayer has drawn out sweetly to our hearts the fact that nature testifies to grey inward spiritual truths, and blessed indeed is the heart that sees, knows, understands, passes into, and lives in the reality of the whole of the spiritual truth that had everyone eyes to see, that be discerned in everything around. What that great hymn that I used to sing as a boy now, it's coming back to my mind. Two worlds are ours, 'tis only sin forbids us to describe the mystic world within, plain as the sea or sky. That's right. That's the truth. And the nature, the outside, is a parable of the spiritual and the inside. I do not want to stop to discuss that in any of its fullness, if I was competent to do so, even. But I want only to draw your attention to one of the statements made in this verse that we read together. There was no more sea. There was no more sea. Now, when I was a young man, from the really earliest boyhood memories of Bible teaching, I used to be told that the reason that this was so, not going to be any more sea, is because the sea stands for division. You see, it keeps America apart from England, and the British Isles apart from Europe, and I don't know what, you see, and it stands for division, and there isn't going to be any division in the new heaven and the new earth. Well, it's a very lovely thought, but unfortunately it's a totally inadequate one, and typical of the superficial sort of thing that unfortunately I was brought up on. Vast knowledge of the written book and of the written truth, but of the spiritual implication often. Although I used to go around to conferences once upon a time and sit where you're sitting and learn a lot, but alas, as one considers it now, oh, how far short of much that is so really and deeply spiritual were many of the things that were said. All right, sufficient unto that day was the evil thereof. Let's turn to better things in this our day. Why, may I ask the question, and you ask yourself the question, why no more sea? If it be not just for the reason that C stands for division, why no more C? Well, beloved, I think that we can start and we'll investigate in our Bibles and we'll see what the Lord has to say about it. So we'll go back to Genesis chapter 1. And you will remember that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, I want you to notice the connection of the Spirit with water. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And there we have then, beloved, the first introduction to this great truth of the seas. And it was God that made the seas. What we don't understand, beloved, really, if we start to read the Bible, say, from the book of Genesis, which if you do start to read the Bible, really read the Bible, you're very foolish to start in Genesis. You should start in the New Testament. And then go back to the Old Testament. You should always start in the New Testament, because the Old Testament, true as it is, was virtually written for another people, the Old Covenant people. And praise God, there's a new one written for us, and that's where we should start, in what really belongs to us. And then work back into the other, and find all the good and blessing there is therein. It's truly the word of God, of course, it's given, but it's a foolish thing to start in the book of Genesis. You don't need to know so much about the creation as the new creation. You don't need to know so much about law as you do about grace. You don't need to know so much about history and prophecy in the Old Testament as you do to know about the Spirit that gave forth the prophecy that you find about in the New Testament. This is the tremendous thing. If people would only be sane when they start to read the Bible, they'd save themselves a lot of misunderstandings and pitfalls. But what we don't understand often when we read this great story is that God did not start without knowing how he was going to finish. And when he gave the first creation, he was doing it with the new creation in mind. The great picture in the heart of God was not just an earth with a nice garden in it called Eden and a couple of people living in it. How long that idyllic state might have gone on if the serpent hadn't got in and spoiled it all, who can tell? It might have continued under now. I mean, if a man can live 1,000 years, wouldn't be any trouble to God to make him live 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, if this be so. How long this might have continued, what we do know is that the whole process has been speeded up with God doing what he calls a short work in the earth. And when sin entered, God said, I'll greatly multiply your conception and so on, he said, so, and get this over quick now that sin's come in. Yes, might have still been in the Edenic state. if we wouldn't have been here, probably. God sort of altered the whole process of things. You must understand this. Things have been speeded up tremendously in these last days. Multiplications of multiplications. But we don't want to discuss that. But God had this great thing in mind. The new creation that he was moving into. And he had in mind a new heaven and a new earth. And a place where there was no more sea. Because the sea came to mean, by God's great overruling, something just more than waves lapping an ocean shore. This is the wonderful thing about it. Let's cast our minds back to where we were last night. Those of us who were together here for the baptism, we may remember that there was the great likeness of the baptistry, or at least in the pictures that were coming, of the sea, the lava. And we reminded ourselves that in the ancient setup of Israel, the altar stood instead of the gates. The only way in was by a sacrifice through the shed blood and the consumed offering. That was the only way in. And the next article there, before one got to the holy place, was the laver, which was a little copper bowl there, at which the priests had to wash. And their way to and fro the holy place, having offered the blood, having performed their rites, they came back, washed their hands, were clean to start again at the altar. Amen. And this was the great process in mind. But after that, when Solomon made the permanent temple to replace the movable tabernacle, he made a huge labor. You can read about it in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. You need not do that now. You can read about it there. This great, huge thing, highly decorative. You will know that it was based upon oxen whose haunches were inside and their faces outside. 3, 3, 3, 3. These 12 great beasts of burden, these oxen, the real workers. That's right, they had to pull the plow and do everything else. And there they were, and this great bowl was put upon them, and the name was changed to the sea. That Solomon made a molten sea. A huge, great place. It would have been lovely for a baptistry, but it would have been a bit difficult for the brethren to stand up in because it was a bowl shape, you see. It carried a huge amount of water. And after the first initial baptism and cleansing, the priests still came in their courses and washed their hands to and fro in the great course of their duties. And so the sea came to stand for something wonderful. And all this was in the heart of God. All this, and you will remember that that laver and sea stands for the sea or laver of regeneration. Amen. It stands for regeneration. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, with this in mind, I suggest you Bible students, now, you Bible students, I don't know whether that only means two of you and the rest are lazy, or whether it means all of you. For there's no excuse for any one of us not being a Bible student. When you're a Bible student, don't go and buy somebody's commentary. That's the last thing to do. That's not a Bible student, that's a commentary student. You don't have to buy Matthew Henry, even though it's recommended by all the great men in the world. You don't have to. I've never bought Matthew Henry, personally. Well, you don't have to buy somebody else's commentaries. Well, I've never bought somebody else's commentaries. If you will have other people's commentaries, you'll never have a commentary of your own. And everybody who's read those commentaries will easily tell where you got it from. That's right. You, by the Spirit, ought to become a commentary on the Bible. You understand? But if you will fly to others, it's like people. If you will always walk on crutches and your mother binds your legs up, as soon as you're born and give you a pair of crutches, you'll only ever be able to walk on crutches. You'll never walk on your own feet and legs. And that's what's happening. It's about time we all were brave enough to destroy all these things, put them off our shelves or sticky tape them up so that we don't use them. And get down to the book. And if you dry up and got nothing to say, well, then you've got to get down to some serious business with God. There's something very seriously wrong. You got that? Keep it then. And move on it. Well now, praise God. You will know that this stands for this great labor of regeneration, and as you study your New Testament, see the connection of the Lord Jesus Christ with the sea. Or the lake, if you like. The Lake of Galilee. Or the Sea of Gennesaret. They're all the same. Sea of Tiberias. All this. They're all this great lake. This little inland sea. God gave them a sea all of their own. That's right. These ancient people. And the Lord did a surprising amount of his ministry on the sea and around the sea. Have you thought about that? The events that took place there. You remember how that he pushed his boat out on the sea and taught them from the sea. Alright, you got this in mind. Now let your mind go back to where we were last night. Sorry if you weren't here last night. But let your mind go back, and you will remember that when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Rabbi, or teacher, master, we know you're a teacher come from God. He says, you've got to be born again. You see, there you are. He told him you've got to be born again. You've got to get on this great sea, into the sea of regeneration. And Jesus was the Word, and he launched out on that which stands for the Sea of Regeneration, and that's where he taught from there. That's the symbolism of it. That's where he teaches. glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember when he was going to release that man from those legions of demons, he went across the sea to him. It was wonderful. He had a marvellous sleep. Went in uppermost calm. Then let others see what this calm was like. On the great new life, the great regeneration, going to meet the utterly destroyed man there, living in the tombs. There it is. Now you work this figure out yourself. I'm not going to do this for you. You get down and become your own Bible student. See? And you'll see what the Lord can teach you about it. All right. Then we go on. And when we get to the book of the Revelation, not in a particular chapter that we read then, but in the fourth chapter, this is what we read. In the end of chapter 3, this is the great truth. Now, I don't know whether you fit into this verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Praise God. Now, that's what you ought to hear. What the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Are you listening? All right. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in their right mind. It sounds like legion, doesn't it? Sitting and clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea. Amen. See where God got the idea of the sea from? See? There was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and so on. There it is. John now is seeing by the Spirit into the things that are. You remember it says this in the first chapter. Into the things that are. In the Spirit he was seeing the things that are. They are now, beloved. This is the thing that you ought to understand. They are now. He was allowed to see them for us. Bless God for this book, this glorious record, to tell us of this thing that is now. Hallelujah. The great throne. Praise God. And him that sits on it. In sight, not out of sight.
says it very deliberately, in sight. Bless God. He's not far away, he's within sight, in the spirit. You've got this, and got it clear. And he's sitting on his golden throne. Amen. There he is. Indescribable. Wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when God starts to explain, you might say, well, fancy saying he's like a jasper stone and like a sardine. Fancy saying that, but don't you understand that God's dealing with things that everybody understands? You see, if they started to describe God, you'd want God described as an Englishman. Poor thing. You'd want him described as an Englishman. But an Indian would want him described as an Indian. And a Chinese would want him described as a Chinese. Because the Chinese think we're terribly ugly people. The things that we think are beautiful, they don't. But if he talks about a jasper stone, that's a precious stone in any language, in any race. We understand what he's getting at. It's something that doesn't change with birth or country or culture. Glory. A diamond's a diamond anywhere. This is the thing. That's why God starts to move in these things. He had them put in his earth to make sure that we would have figures to understand the true. Amen. He put them there. He made this earth. You've got to see this love and wisdom of God. The Bible's no mystery book. It's plain to the simple in heart. It's only a mystery to these would-be clever people. It's simple to the babes. God says he's hid them from the wise and the prudent and revealed it all unto babes. That's how I know. You only have to be a babe where these things are concerned, and the Lord will show you everything. Isn't that right? Praise God. Now then, and there's the sea. He sees it. Look at the sea. And this is what it says, like unto crystal. It was a sea of glass. Amen. That's what it was. You know what crystal is, don't you? Glass. It was as clear as crystal. Well, if people want to sell glassware to you, they tell you it's crystal glass or something like that. This is the wonder of it. It's absolute transparency. But, beloved, see, it's immovability. No waves here, glory be to God. No storms here, blessed be the name of the Lord. Here on this sea. You know, beloved, there's the sea. And the first vision you get of it, it tells you who's on the throne. It tells you who sits round it. It tells you all sorts of things, but there's nobody on it. There's nobody on this sea. You know why, don't you? Because this is a vision of things before, as they always have been in the spirit, before God created the earth. This is a vision before Calvary. You see? And when you go reading down, you find in chapter 5 that the one on the throne, he's got a book in his hand. I just want to show you the relationship of the truth here. So I want to examine it. And he starts to weep. He says so. Verse 4. There was no one found worthy to open the book. And then one of the elders said, weep not. Look. Behold. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Root of David. Hath prevailed. You see what he was? He was the Root of David. David came from him. What David was in the spirit, this wonderful king. What? Without the sin, of course. But all the virtues of David, this glorious king, all came from Jesus. He was before David was. I want you to see this, going back into the beginnings as it always has been. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he looks, and in verse 6 he sees him, the Lamb, as it had been slain, right in the midst of the elders. Praise God. You see that? Wonderful, isn't it? And the elders around the throne, see in verse 4 of chapter 4, right in the midst of the elders, he sees the Lamb. That's why when he sees the sea in chapter 4, there was no one standing on it. Because as yet, the Lamb hadn't been slain. But now, this is an after Calvary look. The Lamb is slain. The altar, glory. And the altar on earth, that great big brazen altar, really was an adaptation of where the Lamb sits as he has been slain. And God wanted to teach us this because of sin, so he had a gold and brazen altar made. And the Lamb had to be put on the altar and burned on the altar. See? But when he looked in heaven, the Lamb's on a golden throne. Hallelujah. There he is. And in front of the golden throne is the sea of glass. There, the sea of regeneration. The angels couldn't come on it. Nobody stood there. Nobody. Let's have a look in chapter 50. And in the 15th chapter, we read this. He says, he sees another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels, having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And now he sees what this space is reserved for. Now he sees for whom it really was planned and provided. He sees them. They've gotten the victory over the beast. And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name. And it's these that are standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now I want to tell you that you might want to relate those people to a certain time in history, especially if you're sort of rabid Bible prophecy students. But I want to tell you, beloved, that the truly regenerate ones are still those that get the victory over the beast. They've got the beast nature out of them by regeneration. That's the first victory. They've got the Lamb nature in them by regeneration. They've had a new birth. Amen. Amen. They're on the lava, they're on the sea of regeneration. There they are. Glory be to God. There they stand. Oh, it's wonderful. They got the victory over everything. Amen. And everybody. That's the wonder of it all, beloved. They had the harps of God, and they can sing. My, these are about the best singers in heaven. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages. The King of the ages. You've got King of saints. Amen. Who shall not fear thee? And away they go, beloved. There they are, standing on this great place, this reservation. There, in front of the throne. in the sea is for them glory. Why, you know, I know what this blessing is. I remember years ago when God came and visited me and showed me this wonderful truth. And I want to tell you a secret. If there is a secret, beloved, which I have learned of God, it's this. My secret is this. I never move away from the sea of regeneration. Never move from it. That's where I live. I live in this great truth of the new birth. I live there. Glory be to God. I stand there. I didn't have a dip in it and come out. I stand there. Now there was a time, like Peter, when I couldn't stand there. When Jesus first got me on the sea and he said, "Come!" And I started to walk, and then I found I put my foot through it. And I started to sink. And I said, "Lord, save me!" You see? And he reached out his hand and he saved me. Glory! He stood me back up where I ought to be. That I can stand and walk and live and have my entire being on this great sea of regeneration before the golden throne of God and fill my heart until it is replete with the glories of the Lamb. I see the Lamb in the midst of the throne. Glory! I know the devil is an overcome foe. Oh, I see now why God told us this, that it is so. I can see it all now. I am, and it is so, of course. I see it all now. You see, the devil's a destroyed foe, beloved. I see it now where it all came from. I wasn't going to speak unto you about you. I was going to preach about the name of the Lord when I came in the room. It is so, beloved. It is so. You know it's so when it's all solid under your feet, don't you? You're standing in this great sea, beloved. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And the sea is shot through with fire. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost for you, if you like, isn't it? That's where all the chaff gets burned up. And you stand in this great sea with God. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved. Are you there? Are you there? You've got to understand that everything is planned on this basis. It's planned on the concept of the temple. There it is, verse 8 in that same chapter. That's what it was in the temple. The throne and the laver of regeneration. Now, because the veil's been rent, you see. The throne, that's the mercy seat, as we call it. It's not a mercy seat now, it's a throne of grace. It used to be a throne of mercy for people who had to keep the law and broke it. They used to have to keep getting mercy from God because they were lawbreakers. But now it's a throne of grace. Amen. We're not under law, we're under grace, you see. It's a throne of grace, and he's sitting there, and he's glory. He's absolutely pleased. He's got the people he wants standing on the sea. They are right in front of his eyes. Amen. We're in his sight and he's in our sight. Yes. Praise God. If he's like a jasper, then I'm like a crystal.
Jesus.
That's right. And this is the wonder of it all, beloved. Oh, it's precious. Here they stand and they sing the song of Moses. And the Lamb, praise his wonderful name. Can you sing the song of Moses and the Lamb? Praise God. You know what the song of Moses is, don't you? Do you know the song of Moses, don't you? How many songs did Moses write? No, it was more than one. wrote at least two. One is in Exodus 15, when they crossed the Red Sea. That's right. And the other one is in Deuteronomy chapter. Oh, memory test for you. Huh? Well done, sister. Yeah, that's right. They can sing that song, and then to sing the Lamb's song. Oh, glory. Can you sing the song of the Lamb?
Glory.
Eh? What's the song of the Lamb, then? Pardon? Well, it's quite good. It's an adaptation of a scripture. What's the song of the Lamb? Now listen to me. You can read the song of Moses in the book, but nobody knows the song of the Lamb except those that hear it. It's like everything. Nobody knows the name except those that have seen it. You've got to read this book of the Revelation. This is hidden. You can't have copyists here. No, God's excluded it. Only those know it that have it. He only sings his song in the midst of the church. That's what it says. Sing the glory, the song of the Lamb, going on in your heart. Eh? Have you got it?
Amen.
And listen, you've got to play God's harps for this. When you can play upon the very heart strings of God. Harps came from God's heart. All music came from God's heart, being prostituted to man and the devil. Being prostituted to fleshiness. But originally, every good and perfect gift proceeded from him. And you and I, beloved, glory. Can you play the harp of God? Well, listen. They talked about singing to a well. Spring up, O well, sing unto it. You know where that is, don't you? Deuteronomy chapter. Well, take the 30 off. Take the 30 off. That's right. Learn your Bibles. You've got to live. Spring up, O well, sing unto it. This is the great thing. In the opening chapters of this great second giving of the law. And they sang unto the well. My beloved, but you can sing to God, and God will provide music, beloved, for you to sing to. This is what the Holy Ghost has come for. In your heart, to make you a singing people. You aren't regenerate if you can't sing. As sure as you've been regenerate by the power of God, you became a songster. That's right. If you've lost your song, then get right back into it. If you've never had it, you've never yet been born. But if you've had it and lost it, well, get it restored. Amen. The song in your heart. Amen. Sing unto it. Hallelujah. I'll not sing just unto a well, unless it's the well that springs up in my heart, as Jesus said. Water I give you, being your well of water springing up. You're a regenerate person then. Amen.
Yes.
And you can sing, beloved, and glory in the Lord. Stand on this great labor of regeneration. I tell you, beloved, if I have one secret above another by the grace of God, it's because since God got me on this labor, I've never left it. This sea of regeneration, never. So far, beloved, I've never let my tongue run away in preachings after other things. Here lies the secret of eternal life, springing fresh and pure. It's all solid under my feet now. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you young people, or again you old ones for that matter. You stand here. God reserved this place for you. You see, He didn't. You don't want to get this idea about I got shoes, you got shoes, you're going to wander all over God's heaven. You stop on the sea of generation, regeneration. That's what you stay there. I don't want a lot of vagrants wandering like gypsies all over the place. You stay on the place, the reservation that's been reserved for you. That's where you ought to stay.
Jesus.
No caravans in heaven. Nice to have them on earth sometimes. This is the truth. My beloved friends, once you move off this ground, you get into all kinds of fantastic theories, applications, and I don't know what. The secret that's been lost is the secret of regeneration. That's the secret that's been lost. And all other doctrines and theories have been brought in to take the place of it. What this great truth of regeneration is. God, he had this great seed. When you people go down to the coast, whether you go to Dawlish Warren or whether you go to Blackpool Sands, and you see the sea, you think of this. Not a place for you to find jellyfish in, or a thing like that. There aren't any jellyfish in this sea. It's as clear as crystal, you can see through it. Amen. Look at old Peter, he thought the sea was the fishing. 153 great fish, Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? That's what I want to know, whether you can pull 153 great fish to land. Do you love me? The place reserved for the lovers of Jesus here. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll give you the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
That's right.
Jesus.
You know what it is to be born again. You enter into this great, glorious life. Oh, it's all so wonderful to stand here talking about rooted and fixed in God that we sing about. Marvellous. But you know, beloved, this brings us to the chapter that we read, the 21st chapter. And when we finally see this great new heaven and new earth, one of the things that old John says is this. He says, didn't see any sea. Why not? Because it's fulfilled its purpose. The born again ones have had it first.
Glorious.
Yes. New Jerusalem has grown up from the sea of glass. Mm-hmm. It's clear as crystal. It says, so you realize it. God's living right there.
Bless the Lord.
His throne's in the middle of it. Stay there. Stay there.
Yeah.
Do you get carried away by Gretton Guinness or somebody else like that around prophecies and applications, they're all right, but don't get carried away off this thing. Years and times and half times and I don't know what not, don't get worried about that. They have a place, but you needn't bother about it. You stay here. It'll all happen whether you've got it right or wrong. It is so. It's going to happen.
Amen.
That's right. You've got to be able to stand there, glory, no more seas,
Jesus.
See, it's not because the sea divides, it's because it got all filled up with people standing on it. That's right, they're the elect, making up the number of his elect, you see.
Jesus.
See? That's why there's no more sea. There won't be anybody else to regenerate. Calvary's purpose will have been accomplished. It'll all be finished. He said it was finished before he left the cross. You remember? He said it's finished. It's all finished. It's all done. It is so. I am, says God. It is so. It's all done. Isn't it a marvelous thing? That's why we should all throw our books in the air. No, start shouting, praising, and glory. Say, well, I've got a thing to do, but that's what it says they do. They stand there and say, God, glory. Lord, glory and honour. You don't really believe it. You haven't let it grip you. You haven't let it carry you away. You haven't believed it properly yet. What is that I'm saying? That's not what I'm doing. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm saying. You haven't let the power of it overcome you and carry you away. You still cling to something of poor old you. Oh, glory. I tell you, this is like it's like wine in your veins instead of blood. When you know this, no more sin. But wait a minute. Let's go on, shall we? Something better than that. You say, what? Something better than this?
Glory.
Am I hearing you talk aright? You surely don't think there's anything better than this great sea of regeneration. Oh, yes. Something better than this? Glory. Let's go on, shall we? And he talks about all this, and he says, well, let's go on, shall we? We'll get to chapter 22. And he shows me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And he shows us something better than the Lamb. He shows us the river that feeds it. He shows us the river of water. This is why water flowed out of Jesus on the cross as well as the blood. Because you must remember, none of us are born of blood. That's why the water had to flow with the blood. The Bible says we're not born of blood. Those of us who love to talk about the precious blood, remember that God himself says it in John chapter 1, you are not born of blood. Born of water and the Spirit. There it is in the third chapter. Mm-hmm. Keep it clear. That's why the water had to run out with the blood, beloved. Mm-hmm. We first began to see the glorious truth. Here then, beloved, is because the blood flowed, the water's flowing. You see, on earth. But originally it's because the water was flowing that the blood flowed on earth. The blood flowed on earth that you might come to the waters. Is that right? That's true.
See?
And now we see the stream that feeds the seas. Hallelujah. Comes from under the throne of God. Hallelujah. And do you remember him that John saw in the opening chapter? It says it's his face was above the brightness of the sun, shining in his strength. Head and his hairs are white like water. You know, it says, notice his voice. Was just the sound of the middle water.
Mm-hmm.
Glory.
There it is.
Glory. Amen. A voice like the sound of many waters, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Glory. Praise God. Mm-hmm. These waters, they flow from under the throne. And he sees the glory. That's a marvellous thing, isn't it? Do you know anything about it? It's the river of water of life. And nobody has life who hasn't drunk this. Nobody. And when they've drunk this, hallelujah, it makes them all crystal clear. Like the sea. All crystal clear. To stand there before God. Amen. You understand that, don't you? This is what it's all for. God's not having anybody there who are like this. Nobody. He'll take you when you're filthy and rotten and putrid. But you're not there. He'll take you when you're there, far off, and he'll bring you there. But you're not there, beloved, until this glorious power and grace and life of God has simply flooded through your being, because you've believed God. Amen. And that is what it is. And that is so. And that's how it is. And it can't be any different. And it isn't that you might say, well, I don't find it so. I find this, I find that. That's utterly wrong. Your mind's got to be converted. That's right. Your mind's got to be converted and renewed. It is as God says. It isn't as you're finding it. It is as God says. That's right. And when you throw away what you find in favour of what God says, you'll have what God says.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. It takes people a long time to realise this. They want to be so honest, so they think. They don't see, they're just repeating the devil's lies in their honesty. It's a terrible mix-up. This is what you call crazy mixed up people. But we all start like that. You see. It is what God says. Glory. They say, well, I am pure then. Well, of course you are. What do you think God meant when he says, well, I am forgiven then. Well, of course you are. It's about time. You ought to have thought this 40 years ago, some of you. So, well, I am free then. Well, of course you are. It is as God says. Well, I'm not bound then. Well, of course you're not bound.
Glory, precious stardom.
And all that is the lie state in which you've been born first time. That you've been born a lie. You haven't been born truth. You've got to be born again to be born truth. See? And you keep on believing the old lie. Well, it makes God weep and the devil laugh, I should think. Yes, it is. Go on, tell yourself the truth. Well, it is so then. Oh, God, I have God's promises. That's right. You are. That's right. Well, I am a real son of God, and that's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, but I haven't been feeling like it. No, I'm sorry you've been feeling so unwell. That's the truth.
Glory.
All sickness, including mental and spiritual sickness, comes from the devil's heart. God gives us the spirit of love and of power,
yeah,
and sanity, a sound mind. Hallelujah. Yes, well, it is so. I've got a perfectly sound mind.
Yeah,
that's right. I've got power in there. I've got love. Well, is he boasting? No, he's not. I'm only telling you what God says. That's not boasting, is it? You can't be accused of boasting then, can you? If so, I've got to stop preaching, because I'm always trying to say what God says. And men who say what they think and say, hey, you don't want to listen to them. It's what God says.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. It's easy. It's so simple. Hallelujah. It's all so glorious. And I see the river flowing from under the throne. Seeing the great sea of regeneration. Hallelujah. That's why, beloved, people can be regenerate today. Be regenerate today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory.
There's a river feeding. And the Spirit says, come.
Amen.
And the bride says, come.
Amen.
If you're thirsty, come. You say come too. Hallelujah. You can tell all your neighbours to come. Dance round where you live, say, come, come, come. This is better than the floral dance.
Glory, glory, glory.
This is the truth. People who sing the song of the Lamb, they see him. That's wonderful. But we'll go a step further than that. That's not the end. That's not the end. You don't want that to be the end, do you? This is the end. Oh, let's read the whole section. Some of you know it's a favourite one of mine. If ever you die, I promise you I'll read this at your funeral if you ask me to tell you. I love taking funerals to read this passage. I always read this at funerals. That is, if they allow me time. Yes. Verse 9, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude.
Amen.
Which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. All the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. You see, they're not there, they're all only outside the elders. All the angels, they're all out there. They're on the perimeter of the circles. Millions upon millions of them, thousands, millions of them, all out there. All out there to see this spectacle.
Yes, wonderful.
Glorious. Gaze upon it, ye angels. You look upon it now as it is for us in the word of truth. I know it's for you. That's right. And they stood there, verse 12, saying, Amen, glory, that's right, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I reckon the palms didn't halfway. You see, glory. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these, which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? What a question to ask. Glory. Well, we know the secret. You see, we're in the secret beforehand. We know. Listen. I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Thou knowest. He said unto me, Of course he knew, because he's one of the elders of the church, you see. This is why you have to have elders on church, in the churches on earth, because they're elders in the church in heaven. See? You see this, don't you? This is the heavenly pattern. Must have elders in an earthly church. Because of, no, you haven't got to go say, oh, we must immediately elect some elders, so have a ballot and all that. No, don't panic. I'm only telling you the principle of truth. See, it must happen. All right. And he said to me, of course I know, these, they that came out of great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white, in the blood of the Lamb. See? Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne, dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. I was at a funeral, actually a cremation, not so long ago when I was in Bradford. A wonderful story, actually. This dear person used to be in the church in Bradford where I ministered for nearly 13 years, and she said to her daughter, you know, when I die, I only want one man to put me away, to use the Yorkshire term. You see, she was a good old Yorkshire woman. And it just happened. Now, this is how God fills me down. I could have been in America, but I happened to be in Bradford the day she died. Now, isn't that wonderful? That's a, you see, this is how God doesn't let anything fall to the ground. It was marvelous. I was there. I say it just happened to be. So far as I'm concerned, it's my itinerary. And I was there. And I read this in that cold old chapel there. I read this. They shall hunger no more.
Glory to God.
Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sound life of me. Because the reason is, they don't read it. You should read the 21st chapter of that. Nor any heat, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. Shall feed them like a shepherd, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. That's got beyond the river. This is where the river comes from. That's got beyond the river. And living fountains. Where are they? In the heart of God.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's regeneration for you.
Hallelujah.
Now, beloved, that's where it is.
Yeah.
The living fountains of God.
Jesus.
The living fountains of water. Not the fountains of living water, but the living fountains. God and the Lamb
Jesus.
And the Holy Ghost. The three living fountains.
Glory.
Yeah. And our
Glory.
One great God.
Glory.
Have you been led there? What an anticipation.
Amen.
No more sea.
Amen.
No more sea. Back in God. Back in the secrets of it all. The springings of it all. That is where it all sprang from in his being. His love, his wisdom, his tenderness. You see, he's not going to hunger anymore. He's not going to let the sunlight on him. No heat. No. He's going to wipe the tears of their eyes.
Jesus.
That love, that heart, that act like this, back in there. It's great to live at the source of the river.
Glory to God.
It's great to live at the source of inspiration. It's great to live in him from whence the book came, so that you know what the book says. That's where you've got to come, you young men. You young women. And all you older ones, you've got very little time left if you're not there. Very little time left. I get people that are craving to preach to young people. I crave to preach to old ones. Because they want the fruits of their ministry to be shown to young people going out and saying, oh, isn't it wonderful? Who led these young people to the Lord? See, Lord, who led these old ones? Don't God care? Don't you young people think God's gone crazy about youth, will you? Like our stupid government has. He loves you tremendously. Don't you think that everything only exists for you? I know you young people weren't. But this is the sort of craze that's in the mind of the young people today. Students wanting to run universities, choose their teachers, and all this sort of thing. I just dropped that word. I know you won't get like you can't if you belong to Jesus. You can't. You reach these living fountains? Have you? Now that's what it's all about.
glory. In that day, beloved, we shall see. Of course, you see, you're a people that get the victory all the time. If you just happen to live in this era that isn't supposed to be the tribulation period or the mark of the beast period, well, if you do, and if you believe in the premillennial, this, that and the other, well, that's all right. But I tell you, you've got to have the fruits of God in you now. You've got to have the spirit of it in you now. You've got to have the reality of it in you now. Not something that's suddenly manufactured because the church is taken over. It's here, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're standing on this great sea. And that's why, beloved, when you read in Revelation 21, there's no more sea. No more sea. Glory. No sea in the new earth. It's just earth and heaven. And no more sea. Isn't that wonderful? Sea wouldn't divide. Stupid people used to say that, because I should be able to walk on it anyway. Jesus did. I'd have a glorified body. I could walk on the sea. That's right. See? Huh?
It's glass anyway.
That's right. See? So, well, I don't sort of live in this sort of glass sea, because I understand there can't be any big waves and storms. I'm on a very stormy sea. Yeah. I'm always in trouble, nose diving into troughs and coming out. Well, get on this sea of glass. Get on there. It's a very even keel when you're here. Glory. You ought to get here. This is the grace of God. I want to tell you that most of your up and downs come because you're an emotional person. You see? You're living there. You've got to be a spiritual person. And look there. You have your ups and downs because your mind goes 20 to the dozen. You're always trying to think things out when Jesus wants to wash them out. You understand? You ought to love him. He said to Peter, to John, to Peter, by the seas. Peter had a terrific up and a down. He got up in the boat and dived right into the sea. Got all his clothes on at that too. He said, after all that, Peter. Jesus, after all that. Do you love him? Do you have to swim to the shore to tell Jesus you love him? No. What you do is stand and look at him, the Lamb on the throne.
Yes.
You just look.
Jesus.
Stand perfectly still, it's all right. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? All right. I trust that you've heard what the Spirit has said. And you listen to him whose voice is as the sound of many waters.
Lord.
Hallelujah. So that you may know that he's speaking you right into all the fullness of this.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's pray, shall we? Let's have a time to pray.